Yeah, I remember that initial randomized trial, the IPASS study, that compared chemo to TKI that showed that TKI was better. I guess what had been interesting is there was a third arm that had both together. And I guess the other thought is, if for an oncologist who maybe reads about this strategy, gets excited about it, I'm guessing the idea of TKI, chemo, and anti-PD-1 may be not something you would support.
Well, I think the biggest challenge is that TKIs plus PD-1 have variable toxicity concerns.
Right.
And in particular, osimertinib we've seen has a pretty high rate of pulmonary toxicity when you combine it with durvalumab that was done in a prospective trial. And all of the TKIs have sort of idiosyncratic side effects where maybe you see higher rates of LFTs, maybe you see a variety of other immune-related adverse events at a higher frequency. So it's a little bit dicey at the moment. I think it's not ready for daily practice today to combine an anti-PD-1, PD-L1 antibody with a TKI today.
Yeah, I heard about the thing combining it and there being a problem. But the other thing I heard about more recently that I've been hearing a lot of people talk about, I'm not sure if you were involved in getting this data, was looking at people who got TKIs after previously receiving an IO.
Yeah, so this is, I think, one of the published series is from one of my colleagues, Adam Schoenfeld, and this looked at patients who, you know, you face that clinical situation where you don't know their EGFR status, so you give them pembrolizumab or you give them chemo plus pembrolizumab, and then you come up with the EGFR mutation result 6 weeks or 8 weeks later, and then you try to figure out what to do. And, you know, based on this idea that the TKIs are better, many docs would just switch immediately to the TKI. But of course, we all know that these antibodies linger in the system for a long time, and they have half-lives of 2-3 months sometimes. And so that's essentially a combination treatment for those patients. And we saw the attendant side effects. In this series, there was, I think, a 25% rate of grade 3-4 immune-related adverse events, much higher than what you'd expect with single-agent pembrolizumab.
You know, I was wondering, too, you know, the patients are getting consolidation or durvalumab after chemoradiation therapy. And people are doing that for people who have targetable lesions, right?
Right, exactly.
So then,
so if those patients recur quickly or during the radiation or during that year of durvalumab, we could run into trouble. The one approach that I've thought about and I've recommended to a few folks, though I haven't actually done it myself, is to say that the data of combining erlotinib plus some of the anti-PD-1, PD-L1 antibodies is okay. So erlotinib plus pembrolizumab or erlotinib plus durvalumab is okay in terms of toxicity. And so I might start that particular patient with erlotinib should they have recurrent disease during that course of durvalumab.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to Dr. Riley and to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special audio spinoff program from the 2019 Society of Neuro-Oncology Annual Meeting.